morning, I'd like to, by the grace of God, help us work out what is the difference between a test of the Lord and a spirit of torment. I've in my life seen too many people go, oh man, this is just from the devil, this is from the devil, and I can see it's not from the devil, it's the Lord testing you. But you are convinced it's the devil. And I've seen other people going, oh, you know, it's just the Lord testing me. I'm going, that's not a test of the Lord, that's not God, that is pure torment. Is that good? Is that okay? Can we try? And like if you understand how I preach, I'm not able to give you that answer. Praise God. But I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will waken up something inside of you, a discernment to be able to discern between the two. That's what I'm after this morning. Is that all right? Let's get into it. First of all, we see a lot of hardships before we get into that first scripture. We see a lot of hardships in a lot of people in scripture. In fact, in everyone's life in scripture, starting from the Old Testament all the way through to the New Testament. We see incredible hardships. We see David. We see Job. We see the Israelites. We see Paul. We see all the disciples being martyred except for one. We see great hardships. But let's get into scripture. Mark 5, a very famous scripture. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of, I'm not going to even try. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out of the tomb to meet him. This man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with chains. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. It says in Luke, this story is told 3 times in Scripture. I don't have time to get into the semantics of it. But in Luke it says he was completely under the devil's power. Let's carry on. Verse 5. Day and night he wandered amongst the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him and bowed down low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." You'll see that Jesus did not introduce himself to this man. He did not call himself the Messiah. Even the disciples were struggling to get that revelation. This is a man possessed. Now, I know most of us go, well, I'm not possessed in that point. And yes, no, but I'm trying to get to a point here. I'm trying to talk about how does the spirit and the spirit realm work and how does a spirit of torment work? Let's carry on. Verse 8. For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Listen up. Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." Then the evil spirit begged him again and again not to send him out to some distant place. "You happen to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. Send us into those pigs," the spirit begged. "Let us enter them." Now, I want us to see how Jesus responded at that moment. Jesus actually stopped. He was doing deliverance and he stopped. And he went into a conversation. Now, with this scripture, I wish I had 3, 4, maybe 5 weeks just to work through the do's and don'ts and how to do deliverance. But we don't have that time this morning. But there's so much that's wrapped up in the scripture. So if you go home, I would really like you to go and read through the scripture and really ask God to come and give you revelation of what was all happening here. Unfortunately, we have to move on. Retief. The nice thing is when you're a visiting preacher, right? You come, you do your thing, you go home. just and there's no I have, don't have to worry, I'll sleep well tonight. But Retief has to fix all my blunders. So all questions will go to Retief afterwards. Thank you very much. So Jesus gave them permission. Verse 13. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs. And the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the hill. We know how they go, and they drown themselves, right? And these herdsmen run into the city. And as they go into the city, the people now come out to see what has happened. 15. Verse 15. This is where it gets interesting. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting, fully clothed, and perfectly sane. Isn't that beautiful? The way I imagine this picture is that this man is sitting now at the feet of Jesus. Perfectly sane. Fully clothed. Because he would have torn off his clothes. He would have been absolutely barbaric in every kind of measure. You know what's really interesting? The next few words, I put it in blue. So all these people came to see this. And they were all afraid. Isn't it interesting that you'd think that people go, wow, I mean, this is incredible, right? This crazy guy, you know, that auntie that was hooting, okay, she wasn't at that level. But the next thing, she's just perfectly fine and everything's wonderful and drinking tea with Jesus. And you go, wow, that's amazing, Lord. You're amazing. You took a madman, absolutely insane, drooling craziness and made him normal, and you'd think that the response of people would be a wow moment. Hey, God is good. But they were afraid. I wish we had time. Then those who had seen what had happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs, and the crowds began pleading with Jesus to go away. Has anyone ever experienced it? Have you ever done a good deed and people actually just shove you away afterwards? Have you ever seen when you pray for someone that doesn't believe in Jesus and they get healed? They're like, wow, okay, no, that's enough, dude. Cheers, thanks. And I don't know, I've actually seen that happen. It's a very interesting way. You think people would be drawn to Christ. So often the way we go to Christ is, Jesus, if only I can heal someone, give me the gift of healing, and then I'll go, and then people receive you. I've got bad news, okay? They don't. Signs and wonders follow us, and that's awesome, but that's not what's going to get them to Jesus. I wish we had time. And Jesus was getting to the boat. The man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Listen carefully. But Jesus says, no, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. We're speaking about torment this morning, so let's look at the definition of torment. If we go to my next slide. Severe physical or mental suffering. And I put some synonyms there, just to help us understand what does it mean to be tormented. If we look at the Strong's Concordance, we see it basically boils down to examination by torture. An examination by torture. If you'll give me a second just to slide down here. What does torment do? You see, torment ends up crippling us. It spiritually cripples. It spiritually brings illness. Now listen to this one. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart grow sick." I'm seeing that in South Africa. I'm seeing how we had a moment in 94 where there was incredible hope, right? New South Africa, a new beginning. There was so much hope. There was so much hope for the way forward. There's so much hope for where we're going to go in this new South Africa. The potential that we have as a nation. Christians were excited. We saw for the first time a possibility to be the breadbasket of Africa, right? The prophecy of South Africa. The breadbasket of Africa. We saw hope. But 25 years down the line, hope is being deferred. Is it not? We look into our president and we're going, we want a righteous president, but we don't see a righteous president. We look into parliament and we look into government and we say, we want a righteous government, but we don't see a righteous government. We look to the police, we look to all the public services, but we don't see what we hope for. And our hope gets deferred. It causes us to go sick, and it causes spiritual illness, and from that comes torment. It leads to torment. You can hear it and see it when there's marchers going down the streets, when they're overturning cars and they light cars up and they're going, people are screaming and they block off the N2 and they burn tires. There's a torment, a spirit of torment ministering amongst our nation. Because the hope has been deferred. See, this leads to madness. Have you ever seen a mob? A mob is something that's mad. I remember I come from an all-boys school, you've got to excuse me. And we had this one guy that one day, we were the matrix that year, and the one guy phoned into 5FM back in the day. And so he said what school he's from, and some of the guys overheard this, and he said, "No, I'm from this school." So the DJ asks, "But what do you guys do on a Saturday night?" So he says, "Oh, well, we typically go out and we drink and we, you know, we smoke and we et cetera, et cetera." A prestigious school. Won't name names. That Monday morning, the entire matric class waited for him. We were 180 matrics. And they flogged this guy. I mean, I'm just standing there because I don't know anything. I'm a trick and we're all coming together. I'm thinking awesome. And the next thing, these guys are flogging this guy. 100 plus minus boys beating up one boy. Madness in a mob. We Christians at the back was going, "No, stop, whatever." But we were just being pushed out because this was justice. Madness. See, torment leads to enslavement, and ultimately it leads to destruction. We see that in that scripture. We see that this man tried everything, right? If we go back to that scripture, he was scratching himself. He tried to get rid of this torment. He did everything in his own power to get rid of the torment, but it didn't help. Society tried to get rid of torment too. They tried to step in, but they couldn't do anything. They've shackled him. They tried everything to bound him just to stop this thing from tormenting him any further. But it helped him not. See, the only thing that helped him in the end was when he had that moment with the Savior. And this we know, right? We know that when you come to Jesus Christ, there's a moment where he brings us peace. There's a moment where he brings us out of a place of madness into deliverance. We find this man clothed, sane, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Because Christ says, "I gave him, tell the people that I have given you mercy." You know what the beautiful thing is? This man started a ministry right there. He went and preached in 10 cities. When last have you preached in 10 cities? See, when Christ enters our lives, we transform, we change, and it makes us go, boom, next moment, I want to tell people about the goodness of what Christ has done for me and what he can do for you. I believe that man would have opened up later on for Jesus' ministry space to be able to go into those 10 cities. Because they would have heard there's this man, his name is Jesus Christ. I was possessed by demons. And these demons recognized him. They spoke through me. They recognized him. They knew who he was. He would have prepared the way for Christ to minister. Sermon 1, done. Sermon 2, starting. Right, you know those movies where you have they start off when there's this guy walking and there's just blood everywhere and everyone's shot up and stuff. You know, and he's been shot in the arm. I know none of you watch those movies, so just imagine that kind of movie. And then it says, 3 months earlier, or the night before, all right? We're going to do that right now. Okay. So, we're going to go back the night before this awesome ministry happened with Jesus. Is that right? Can we go to Mark 4? It's the night before. I'm like preaching myself excited here. I might just run out just now. I'm so excited. I hope that's all right. Retief will carry on. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciple, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started over, leaving the crowds behind. Although typically other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping, as he normally does, at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Don't you love the way Scripture will tell you? He had a cushion too. He had a cushion. His disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" Scripture. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Isn't that beautiful? Hold on. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? What did we just see in the scripture that follows this? The people were afraid. Jesus took a madman and just healed a man. Whoop. Calm. Torment. Calm. Here we see a similar scenario. Crazy waves. Okay, now you must understand, okay? The Israelites, a little bit of history. Israelites were petrified of water. Did you know that? They didn't like water. They weren't good swimmers. That's why the fisherman was one of the lowest jobs. You had to be off your rocker to go onto water. Seriously, that's historically, if you don't believe me, ask Tians. And trust me, when I give the sermon, I haven't given the sermon yet. I'm going to give the sermon next week in Cape Town. Tents will be checking that I'm right. So I have to be doctrinally right in my church. I can't make bad doctrine. All right. Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Do you still not have faith? The disciples here are being tested. This is not a spirit of torment. This is a test. With a man possessed, it is torment. It's a spirit of torment. Here's the challenge, guys. They look the same. they feel the same. I'm throwing this conundrum at us going, we're in trouble. Because so often we miss the Lord and what the Lord is doing. You see, God, Christ himself is in the boat there. The disciples should have had by now the revelation of who Christ is to go, hey guys, this is a storm. We're going to be okay because Jesus is with us. I've got Jesus. You know the song? With Jesus in the boat, I can smile at the storm. Can we sing it next week with the little ones? How does the storm part go? There's more moves for that one too. They weren't smiling at the storm. They missed because they did not understand the authority that they have. They did not know who they were in Christ. They were still working it out. I think as a nation, we're still working it out. All right. We're going to jump ahead. So this is going to hopefully help us a little bit. 1 John 4 verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. I love the old King James says, because fear hath, what does it say? There is no love, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. Fear has torment. Fear is torment. See, the disciples went into a place of fear and therefore it came immediate torment. Instead of them knowing who Christ is and who they are in Christ, they went into torment. Okay. Micah 7, can we move on to Micah 7? It's a beautiful scripture. It should be your soul cry. This should be one of those scriptures that you memorize, know it off by heart, and when you're in a bad space, you just bring this scripture up. Okay? You know, so school kriet, the anthem, this should be your anthem in the time of suffering or in bad shape, when you're in a bad place. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation. Listen, my God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear, listen very carefully, the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Until he pleads my cause and executes justice for me, he will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Sometimes in our life, torment or testing will come because of this, our own stupidity, our own silliness, according to Micah. Can you find that scripture? It's a little lower down. We fail God because of our silliness, our stupidity, our foolishness. If you can't be honest before yourself, and you can't be honest before God, you're in trouble. If you think that you are the righteousness of Jesus Christ by yourself without the blood covering you, making you righteous, you're in trouble. If you think you are fully righteous, speak to your spouse. Ask them, darling, when you look in my eyes, all you see is Jesus, right? And what he or she will do is, don't you want to just go clean up that mess that you left in the garage or in the kitchen, especially the kitchen. Die bord wat jy daar gelos het is not the righteousness. The righteousness is in the dishwasher. A lot of what we do is self-inflicted. We got to be honest and true about that. Have you heard when an injustice happens in someone's life at work? You notice how the person that tells you the story never made one single mistake. And you kind of go, as a pastor, you sit with these kind of conundrums. You kind of go, buddy, I'm with you. I love you. You're awesome. Hug, high five. You're going to be okay. But let's just get real and honest. When was the deadline? About 3 weeks ago. And you didn't finish on time. No, I didn't. So how much did it cost the company? 300,000 maybe. You don't understand why you lost your job. No. Are you with me? We need to ask the right questions. So let's get to that. When is it a test and when is it a torment? First of all, we need godly wisdom. With godly wisdom, we need godly counsel. Please don't have good Christians in your life. They're not going to help you. You know what I'm saying when I mean good Christians? You need them. Look, that's the first person you run to, right? My boss hates me. The cat doesn't like me. You need those people. Then go to the person that you least like that's going to tell you how it is. You know that guy? For that guy, it's my brother. That's why I have a brother, and he's in my church. And Ryan, George knows him very well. Ryan is beautiful because Ryan's just going to bring it for you. So I can't hide, and he just sits me down and says, no. Get that guy. Because that guy is going to help you to see if it's a test from the Lord or if it's a spirit of torment. Or a spirit of stupidity. We need to have the discernment through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that ultimately shows us which of the two it is. Lord, are you testing me? Because I like you to test me. I don't really like you to test me, but the Lord tests us. And the reason the Lord tests us is to get rid of that dross, those infirmities in our lives, so we can become more like Christ. This is what it's about. This is what it means to be a disciple. A disciple is a follower of Christ. A follower is the one that follows to become more like Jesus. We are made in the image of Christ. We are being transformed, perfected into the image of Christ. That's why the tests come. That's why these things happen in our lives. So I can look more like Jesus. So that one day when I wake up and I'm 19, my wife looks up and she says, Jesus! And I'm going to go, no, Bernie. It's to understand the authority that we have. I wish we had time, and it's something I gave a sermon series last year on, just authority, just that. I've not been given, on one scripture, I've not been given a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. The 1 week I went through power, second week love, third week sound mind. Powerful stuff. It's 2 Timothy 1:7. Then to step into the Sabbath rest, to step into the rest of God. The Sabbath rest is every day, by the way. It's not just on Sundays. That's what Christ was trying to get to the people. With the Sabbath. No, but it's the Sabbath. We can't do anything. No, I'm the Sabbath. Come into my rest. And then to have peace. You know how much the world desires peace? No matter how hardcore they are. You know how many Christians still desire peace? There's areas in my life I don't have peace. I know that. There's areas I miss God. There's areas where I don't miss God, but there's areas very definitely that I miss God. And one of those areas is to know His peace. Because the world gets us, the world's like this, and it makes us, takes us into stress, takes us out of His rest, takes us out of His peace. And to fight for that peace. James says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. In other words, God will never use evil to tempt you. That's torment. But let's see the temptation that God allows. The temptation in your life are no different from what others experience. In other words, children of the church experience the same temptations of those in the world. And God is faithful. He will not allow a temptation to be more than you can stand. When you're tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. You will not go through anything that God will not allow, that you can't handle, that you can't go through, Scripture says. There's nothing. You can get through anything with Christ in your life. There's nothing you can't overcome. And when there comes a temptation that's not of God, there's always a way out. The Lord will make a way out. One of the Bible translations, I was looking in the Greek, and it was all Greek to me. But one of the translations basically goes that they say that illness, sickness, is torment. One of the words for sickness is torment. If you want to know if Christ believes in healing always, we don't have time. Speak to Retief afterwards. And no, I don't want to, because there's a whole lot of holy cows on this area. I believe it's God's heart always to heal, and unfortunately I don't think we always get it right. I'm going to be the first to say that. I've seen that I've, in my own life, stood in faith for certain places for healing where I haven't received healing yet. It just doesn't change my faith that God is a healer. I'm one of those high blood pressure people. But I believe that God can heal me of my blood pressure. I haven't seen it yet, but I still hold on to it. But I have seen God do incredible healings. We have a guy in our church, he's literally emptying out hospitals at the moment. Incredible. Got a word for him last year. We were having a lunch, and I said to him, just eating my lunch, and I looked at him, and just, I had a squirrel moment. Now, you know a squirrel? Like dog, squirrel! I have those, right? And I had a squirrel moment. I just looked at him and said, God's called you to heal people. And I carried on eating, and he kind of looked at me as if, because he's never even thought about it. Beginning of this year, we did a training in the gifts of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. And I got a guy in to come and give a teaching on healing, and he just went and took it serious. He said, Lord, I want to heal people. I want to see it. And he's just emptying out hospital beds. Incredible. He goes every Thursday to go pray for people. So God does heal. So, how do we sit at the feet of the Prince of Peace? I'm beginning to wrap up here. I hope I'm leaving you with a conundrum this morning. I hope I'm not that guy that gives you a nice word and you feel good about it and leave. Because if you feel good about it, you would have forgotten by the time lunch happens. If I've given you a conundrum, then hopefully you're going to go wrestle with God with us. So I like to have people wrestling with the Lord. So in your life, can I ask that you go and ask, Lord, are you testing me or is there torment in my life? Is this thing that's in my life from you or from the enemy? And I'm not going to give my opinion on that. I'm going to ask you, Lord. I'm going to seek you in it. Ultimately, if it leads you closer to Christ, it was a test. But that's only when you see it at the end, right? But yes, some practical things we can do to help us work through it. Simple. Go to church. Why do we say that? Why do we pastors say that? Because we understand the power of fellowship. We understand the power of family. Because we know that when the believers come together, what is church is where believers come together, we know that God is amongst us and in our midst, and we know that God is doing something. We get words when we open up the mic here and we say, Lord, come and speak to us, speak to your people. We receive direct word from God, as we saw this morning. Now, here we go again. Learn from mature men and women of God. Sit with someone that's been around the block, not the Jaarbroer. Have that person that can sit you down and say, Stephen, what's going on in your life? How's it going? Let's talk about this. And we'll be able to go, dude, I can see God in this. I'm standing with you. I know you can get through this. Well, I can see this is not of God. Let's stand up against this. Let's just say no more. This is that territory that's ours. And no devil is coming in this territory. This is my allotted portion. Stephen, this is your allotted portion. This is what God has blessed you with. Ain't no devil coming here. And we stand together. That's why we have church. Attend Bible school. I don't know if you guys have the Bible school here. Awesome. Pietri at the kiddies. Pietri is a legend. Do Bible school. Why do Bible school? You need to understand the Word of God. I know so many people that know the Word of God, but they don't understand it. You know, they can quote most verses, but they still don't understand it. We need to understand. That's why we need to learn. That's why we need to be, someone needs to open it up. So we need to understand hermeneutics and homiletics and all those horrible words that freak me out personally. We need to pray in community. Why? Why in community? Why not alone? Great question. Thanks for asking that. We pray in community so we can learn how to pray. Do you know that most of us don't know how to pray? Do you know there's different types of prayers? We need to learn how to pray. Most of the time when we're supposed to be commanding something, we're asking for something. And most of the time when we're supposed to be asking something, we're commanding something. Lord, I command, I want a new house. And for you guys that live out here, I don't know if you have our problems. Like a house is literally 2x4. I mean, we live on top of each other there in Cape Town. Lord, I ask that you do healing. God kind of doesn't understand that. He said, I do healing. You don't have to ask me. We do this. Just go command it. Go and pray. Go and do as I've done. Go heal the sick. Not me heal the sick, you heal the sick. Remember, that was my great commission. Go heal the sick. Go raise the dead. So just go do it. Go command it. It is done. It is finished. It was finished 2,000 years ago on the cross. Pray in community. Then pray scripture when you're alone. Pray scripture. So that you can know the heart of God, in other words, what God wants. You have not because you ask not, and what you ask amiss. Communion, something that we as the charismatics have moved away from. We don't do enough communion. I'm the greatest sinner. A powerful tool that God gives us. Then feed on the Word. Be it if you need to listen to audio or to read. And worship. Right. Now, I'm going to be very careful on this one. Ravi Zacharias says he's one of my favorite people on the face of the planet. Go Google him if you've never heard any of his sermons. It will absolutely transform you and freak you out at the same time. That such an intelligent person can live. He's an intelligent Christian. I love intelligent people. I'm not an academic. Okay, so I struggle with words, and I understand visions, and I understand drawings, and I understand movies. I don't understand books and stuff. That stuff freaks me out. But I love hanging with those people, right? Ravi says that he has a problem with people that can't sing hymns. Okay, so basically he's saying he's got a problem with the charismatic movement. If you want. Why does he say that? He says that, not to be funny, but he says that because he realizes that those people don't know the difference between a nice song and scripture. Hymns are scripture. My favorite hymn. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we shall be called the sons of God. Oh, beautiful. Hymns. If you don't know what a hymn is, go Google it. YouTube it. You'll find any hymn, every hymn. Go learn the hymns. Go learn the scriptures in hymns. So you can sing scripture. Nothing wrong with the songs we sing today. It's nice. It's beaty. It's hip-hop. It's beautiful. It's fun. But go learn hymns. You don't expect to hear that from a charismatic pastor, eh? No. The Lord has given me good tidings. Learn scripture. And then meditate on the word. Meditate on what God says and is doing in your life. Meditate. Read the scripture and go, Lord, how do I apply this in my life? What does this verse mean? Why did you give that man mercy? How did he start a ministry? Ask questions. Irritate God. He doesn't get irritated. I ask God at least 1,000 questions every day. I told you, I'm not very intelligent. Struggle. Academics. So I have to ask a lot of questions. God answers most of them. He ignores quite a few of them too, though. You can just see him sitting there in heaven. It's okay, my son. You'll get there. Ask questions. We're going to end here this morning, and as I say, I hope I'll leave you with a conundrum. We need to seek God to understand God. We need to be able to identify God and identify the devil. If we want to be accurate for this nation, and we want to help this nation, we have to stop having opinions. Do you know a Christian's not allowed to have an opinion? I know that hurts. And if you think about that for a minute, you're in trouble, and I'm in trouble, we're in trouble. Because we've given up our right to opinion. Our opinion is Jesus Christ. That's it. What does Jesus have to say about this situation? And that's all opinion that counts. But I'm reading on Facebook. I started Facebooking again, but not writing, reading. And I'm frightened by what Christians are saying and responding to in this day and age, and looking at, and say, it's just frightfully ungodly. How can we have the answer to this nation and the answer to the problems that our nation is going through if we are so opinionated over nonsense? And our focus is on nonsense. We need to sit under the feet of Jesus. We need to become sane again. Find his peace, his rest, and go, thank you, Jesus. This is who you are. This is where you're going. Let's go. We have a beautiful nation that is truly struggling with much torment. We need to help our nation out of torment. And we need to help people see challenges that's put in their lives from Christ so they can get over that hurdle. Most people, when something happens in their job, go, I'm going to quit. I don't like this job anymore. I don't like this neighborhood anymore. I don't like this church anymore. So I'll go have a job somewhere else. I'll go to church somewhere else. I'll live in a different neighborhood. And lo and behold, 3 months later, same problems, similar problems. I don't like the church. I don't like my job. and they carry on quitting or stopping or changing because they never persevere, because the Lord is saying, you need to change to become more like me, and change hurts. But it doesn't torment. Let's stand together. Lord, this morning we come and bring ourselves before a holy God. And Lord, we come with a simple prayer this morning. We ask for the discernment and the wisdom to know the difference between places where the enemy is stealing, bringing torment in our lives and in friends' lives and in families' lives. And we will have discernment, Lord, where you are busy working in our life, where you are challenging us. We pray, Lord, that we will not be like the disciples, blind in the boat. I fear greatly in this time, Lord, that your bride is so blind in the boat. That we are afraid, Jesus. We're seeing it in this nation. We're seeing as a nation is standing up, the bride is not standing up. We see as the nation is bringing accusations that the church is not bringing relief, not bringing truth, not bringing wisdom. Because we're afraid. And that fear brings torment, Lord. It brings torment to us. We just declare this morning in the spirit realm that your bride does not submit to the spirit of fear. She does not accept torment. Jesus, where there's torment in our lives, Lord, we pray that we will be like that man possessed, that we will see Jesus, recognize Jesus, and we'll just run to you. We'll let go of hiding, because so many of us hide our sins, hide our shame, hide our iniquities. We hide that demonic thing inside of us because we don't want anyone to know that I have a place that I'm really, really suffering. Run right through all and everything, will run that we might find deliverance. I pray that we will find peace. And once we've received our peace, that we will take that peace to this nation. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are faithful. Thank you that you will do that, that you will, in this season, in this time, give us accurate discernment to discern where you are going, Christ, what you are doing. And for those of us that are struggling to hear the voice of Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, that we will know, because you say, Lord, my sheep know my voice. We know your voice, Lord, but we pray that we will be able to drown out all those other voices. It's like 1,000 radio stations playing at once. We pray that we'll put off 999 of them, and only the one, the voice of Jesus, is the one that we will hear. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will do it in this congregation. Pray that you'll do it in movement of shofar. pray that you'll do it in the bride of South Africa. I pray that you'll do it in the bride of Christ throughout the earth. That we will not allow torment amongst us, but that we will recognize your working in our lives. If there's anyone here this morning, I just want to give the opportunity. If there's anyone this morning that you are really struggling with something that's tormenting you, then we're going to pray with you. We're going to anoint you this morning. We're going to stand with you. And if you really struggle to see the difference, like you have no idea the difference when it's torment and when it's a testing, then we're going to pray for you too, and we're going to anoint you too. So if that's you can come to the front. For the rest of us, I think we're going to end it there. I thank you for your time this morning. Thank you for coming. Just want to encourage you to keep on keeping on. You guys are beautiful. You're amazing. You're making a difference in this part of Cape Town. You're making a difference in Tableview because you have the light of Christ in you. Do not despise what God is doing. I want to share one testimony. But if you can take 2 seconds, I've got one testimony. I was praying many years ago for a bunch of people. I was in Stellenbosch and I chose a restaurant that I went to every week. I decided to go to one restaurant. I worked from there, became my office. And I started praying for everyone there. I prayed for the whole place to be saved. I baptized one person that worked there. That person is now working on staff at Shofar. Another person I prayed for salvation. And now, 6 years later, this is 6 years ago, this is the last time I was there, someone phoned me up and said, listen, I had a dream. And I had a dream of this person sent a WhatsApp and said, listen, I dreamt about you. And this person came back to me and said, every time I go through a bad time in my life, you have a dream of me. That's just weird. Can we have coffee? And so they phoned me up last week and I had coffee with them. This person's so hungry for Jesus. It's crazy. It's awesome. Have you ever spoken to someone that's hungry for Jesus? 6 years. And the testimonies keep coming. I haven't thought about the person for 6 years. But because I was in that place, I decided to be the light. I decided I'm not just going to eat here. I'm not just going to come hang here. I'm not just going to work here. I'm not just going to drink my coffees and have my meetings here. I'm going to be purposeful for the ways of Jesus Christ. I invited this person to come and join next Sunday for this sermon with us. I'm standing in faith for that person's salvation. Because I've got the light inside of me. I've got good news for the poor. That person is poor. Spiritually, they are poor. You are making a difference where you're at because you are there. Keep on keeping on. Amen. We're going to pray for those that came to the front. Thank you very much. God bless Retief. What a blessing to be here. Thank you, brother. Over to Retief.
Thank you, Bernie. That was really awesome. Thank you for just sharing your heart with us. And we've prayed for your blessing. But Father God, we just thank you that even next week, Lord, thank you for the seed of righteousness that was sown today. Seeds of discernment, I believe. Thank you, Lord, it will bear fruit as you discern and you decide 30, 60, and 100-fold. And same next week, Lord. We just thank you. But may this also be a seed for this nation and for the church in this nation. Not just even where it's preached. May it be just the seed in the spirit for this nation, God. We just thank you for that. We just bless, Bernie.